Please turn with me in your Bibles to the Gospel according to John chapter 1. Gospel according to John chapter 1 and verse 13. John chapter 1 verse 13. Or rather, let's begin at verse 12. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And our subject this morning is how a believer is born. Now, although Christmas Day has already been and gone, I thought it would be fitting while we are still in the holiday season to look at these words, which are often associated with this time of the year, this portion from John chapter 1 that speaks of the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. It speaks of the Word. That is how the Lord Jesus is referred to. The Word, the very expression of God, the full revelation of God. When we want to express ourselves, we use words, do we not? So when God wants to express himself in the fullest sense, he sends forth his Son. And it is in the Lord Jesus Christ that we know God. And the Word was made flesh, we read in verse 14. The Word was made flesh and dwelt among us, the Lord coming down from heaven and taking upon himself a body, human flesh, born of Mary. We know all these things, the incarnate God. And he dwelt among us, says John. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father. Well, John was a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, who walked with the Lord, who saw him with his own eyes. He saw his glory. He saw the glorious miracles that we read of in the gospel accounts. Those who were well healed, those who were blind could see, those who were lame were healed completely and restored. The deaf were able to hear, the dead raised to life again. The glorious miracles. John beheld his glory. He heard his words, words full of great truth. And John literally saw the glory of the Lord on the Mount of Transfiguration, when the Lord's appearance shone as bright as the sun, the glory of the Lord. John saw it. We beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And they didn't just see, they believed that he was the Son of God. Of course, there were many who did not believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Even though they saw the miracles, even though they heard the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, they did not believe. And we read in chapter, verse 11, that the Lord came unto his own, and his own received him not. He came to the Jewish people who should have been expecting him, fully expecting him, who should have welcomed him with open arms. He had been prophesied for so long. All the Old Testament prophets had spoken of the Lord Jesus Christ. So they should have expected him and desired him, the long-looked-for Messiah. But what happened? He came unto his own received him not. What a tragedy that was. But verse 12, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. Those who did believe, even to them that believe on his name, they were given power. They became the sons of God. And in verse 13, we read how they became the sons of God, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Well, at this time of year, as I've already mentioned, and mentioned on Christmas Day, we think of the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ, his birth. But do you realize that every Christian is born? Every Christian is born, which were born, and they are born in a very special way, in a remarkable way. Not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And these are the words, this is the passage that I want to focus on this morning, because these are glorious things and very important things if we are to call ourselves Christian people. Has this happened to us? Has this birth happened to us? We must examine ourselves very earnestly this morning. Well, let's look at these words. The sons of God, those who are Christian people, how are they born? Well, it's interesting that John describes to us how we are born by telling us what it is not, what our birth as Christians is not. And he starts off, not of blood, not by physical birth. Now, I don't even know if I need to really mention this. I'm sure the majority of you who are gathered here and who are listening understand that you cannot be born a Christian. You cannot physically be born a Christian. Now, this surprises some people because this is so often the way with other religions. If somebody is born into a Hindu family, well, then they are called a Hindu. If somebody is born into a Sikh family, they are called Sikhs. It was reported not so many years ago. I don't know if it's still the case now, but it was said that Islam is the fastest growing religion in this country, in Europe. It's the fastest growing religion. Why? Well, because of the number of Muslim babies that were being born, physically born. That's how it was measured. The Muslim religion is measured by the number of babies who are physically born, the growth of the religion. But it's not like that with Christianity. If you are born into a Christian family, that does not make you a Christian. Not by blood, says John. You are not a Christian. You are not born right with God. And even in the time of the Lord Jesus Christ, many could not understand this. Many of the Pharisees, the scribes, many of the Jews thought that simply because they were born Jews, we are part of the Jewish race, so we must be right with God. That's what they would say to the Lord Jesus. They would tell him, you know, we are descendants of Abraham. Abraham is our father, so we're all right with God, and don't tell us anything else. And what did the Lord Jesus Christ say to them? Well, he would tell them harsh words, but true words. Ye are of your father, the devil. That is what he said to them. They were saying, we're Abraham's children. The Lord Jesus said, you are of your father, the devil. What did he mean by that? Well, he was saying, you are fallen men. You are fallen men. Just like the rest of the human race. Don't point to your Jewishness. You are no different to the rest of the human race. We are all sons of Adam. And what happened to Adam? He fell from grace. He fell. And we are all fallen men and women. This is, of course, what the Bible teaches. That, well, when we are born physically, we are born sinners. We're not born right with God. We're born sinners. That's what the scriptures teach. Many of you know Psalm 51 very well. King David, that was his psalm of repentance after he committed that great sin of adultery with Bathsheba. And David, well, he tries to trace back the origin of his sin. Why am I so sinful? Where did my sin start? Where did it all go wrong? And he says, well, I was conceived by sin. In sin did my mother conceive me. It all started in the womb. I was born this way. That's when my sin nature began. I was born a sinner. So by natural birth, by physical birth, we are not right with God. We cannot be right with God. We are born sinners. And this is why the scriptures teach us we must be born again. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ tells us in John chapter 3. In order to be right with God, we must be born again. You see, we must have a spiritual birth, not simply a physical birth. We must have a spiritual birth, born spiritually, if we are to be right with God, a birth that gives spiritual life. And that is essential. It's not optional. It is essential. We must be born again, not by blood, but of the Holy Spirit. And so this is the first point here. This is how we have to examine ourselves. The sons of God, which were born not of blood. We cannot be born physically right with God. We must be born again, born spiritually. And this is essential for each and every one of us. But then John goes on to say, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh. Well, what can we say about that? Well, of course, the flesh, our flesh, does not want the Christian faith, does not want Christianity. The Christian faith does not appeal to the flesh, to our appetites, to our passions, to our lusts. It doesn't appeal to it. Our flesh, our bodies, well, we want to gratify ourselves. We want to partake in every kind of pleasure, in every kind of sensation, in every kind of experience. That's what we want. That's what the flesh wants in our natural physical state. We want to gratify ourselves and do everything that we can. That's why the world is so appealing. The world that we see in front of us, that's why it's so appealing, so exciting. Because it tells us, come and gratify your flesh. You can do everything you want in this world. Every sensation, every pleasure that you want, come and gratify the flesh. That's what our flesh wants. That's the will of the flesh. But dear friends, as I so often say, we are so much more than just flesh and blood. We, each one of us, we have souls. We have souls, dear friends. And if we live without God in our lives, our souls are deprived. Our souls are neglected. Our souls are malnourished. The flesh might be all right. The flesh might be doing very well. But your soul is in a desperate state. It's being injured. It's being harmed. The soul was designed, was created by God so that we would have a relationship with Him. That's what the soul is essentially for, to know God, to speak to God. If you don't have God in your life, you're doing great harm to your soul. Do you understand that? So many people, they wouldn't dream of harming their flesh. No, of course not. But when we reject God, we do untold damage to our souls. And does that speak to any one of us here? Our souls suffer tremendously without God. The will of the flesh. If we live according to the will of the flesh, we destroy our own souls. And the will of the flesh, and this is very important, the will of the flesh does not want a savior. The will of the flesh, well, the will of the flesh says, I can be good enough for God. I don't need a savior. I can be good enough for God by my works, by my good deeds, by my spirituality, by my church attendance. I can be good enough for God. I can do it myself. That's what the flesh wants. The will of the flesh wants to boast. I take credit for my salvation. And well, this is why So many of the other religions are attractive to the flesh because that's what the other religions say. You can earn your way to God. You can do it yourself by your own spirituality, by your own religious works. You can be good enough for God, and that appeals to the flesh. Oh yes, I don't need a savior. I can be good enough for God. But dear friends, that's not the will of God in our salvation. That's the will of the flesh. But the will of God is that we are saved not by our works, but by faith. Faith, that is how we are saved. Faith in a Savior. Faith in the one who came down from heaven to earth and became flesh and lived that perfect, righteous life for us. Faith in him. He's the only one who has lived a perfect life. He's the only one who has lived a life that is accepted by God, a life without sin. And we put all our faith in that life. He is our righteousness. We don't take credit for being right with God. We know that it's Christ's righteousness that saves us. And so we are not saved according to the will of the flesh. Flesh cannot save us. It's faith. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he has done. That's how we are saved. So we are born, the children of God, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man. We are not saved by the will of man. Well, what does that mean? Well, when natural children are born, it is by the will of man. If parents want to have children, well, they decide to have children and the children are born. It's according to their will. It's according to their decision. Natural children are born by the will of man. But that's not how Christians are born, not by the will of men. No man can convert a soul. No man can convert another man. A preacher cannot convert anybody. When I preach to you, I do my best, but I know that I cannot convert any one of you. I wish I could. I wish I could just preach and you would hear the word of God and every single one of you would be saved. I wish I could do that, but it's not the will of man that saves you. It's not according to the will of man. Similarly, there are many parents who wish they could convert their children. Many mothers who wish that their sons were saved. Oh, I wish I could save my son. Many fathers who wish they could save their daughters. But it's not according to the will of man. That's not how Christians are made. That's not how Christians are born. You cannot force anybody to be a Christian. When a Christian comes to faith, when a Christian is saved, they are saved willingly. They come willingly. Of course they do. But here's the thing, and this is very important to grasp. When a Christian is saved, this is what he says to himself. Lord, I give up my will. I give up my will entirely, and I want to live entirely for the will of God. That's how a Christian is born. That's how you know when somebody is saved. When their will is given up, all their ambitions, all their aspirations, all their desires, they're given up. And I say, I want the will of God for myself. I want to live according to God's will. This is how we know that we are born again, born of God. And of course, this is how the Lord Jesus Christ himself lived. Remember what the Lord himself said, John chapter 6 and verse 38. For I came down from heaven, not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. That's what the Lord Jesus Christ said. That's how he lived. That's how we ought to live, following the Lord's example, giving up our own will. And that's why the Lord went to the cross at Calvary. That's why the Lord went and took upon himself the punishment for our sins. Remember in the Garden of Gethsemane? Remember when the Lord Jesus Christ, he realized what he would have to do. The full horror, the full darkness of Calvary, of the cross, appeared before his eyes. And he sweat, as it were, drops of blood, because he knew he would have to take upon himself the punishment for the sins of all those who would believe in him. He realized that, but remember his prayer, what he said, "Not my will, but thine be done." He chose the Father's will, and he went to the cross, and he suffered and died for lost sinners. Dear friends, this is what we must do. This is how we are born. A true born-again believer, he gives himself up entirely. "Lord, I die to myself," he says to himself. Just as the Lord Jesus Christ died for me, for my sin, I die to myself, and I live according to the will of God alone. Well, is that true of us? When we think upon these things, are we born again? Not of blood, not claiming we are Christians because we are born into Christian families, nor of the will of the flesh. We've turned away from the will of the flesh. We've repented of all our sin, nor of the will of man. We've given up our wills, but of God. Do we live for God? You know, that last part of the verse that tells us that when we are saved, it has very little to do with us, nothing to do with us. When we are saved, it is God's work. When we pray for souls to be saved, well, we know that it's entirely down to God. This is why we pray, "God save souls." And dear friends, if there are any here who desire to be saved, who desire to know the forgiveness of all their sins, who desire to have that new life that can only come from on high, you have to ask God for it. "Lord, change me. Lord, save me. Lord, give me faith." It's God alone who can save. So you must come to him. And when you come with that earnest and serious and sincere heart, he will hear you and you will be saved. These are the things that we need to come and to bring before the Lord. This is the verse before us. "The sons of God which were born, not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God." Dear friends, I hope this has spoken to you. I cannot, as I've already mentioned, I can't convert you by my feeble words, by my feeble messages. But I pray that the Lord will move in you by the power of the Holy Spirit. Come to God. There will be no regrets. I mentioned this on Christmas Day. The birth of a child is always a time of great rejoicing, always a time of great celebration. It's the same when someone is born again. When somebody is born again, it's never a time of regret. It's never an occasion of, "Oh no, he's become a Christian." It's a time of rejoicing, great rejoicing. You come to Christ, the church will rejoice. You come to Christ, you know it says that heaven rejoices. There is rejoicing in heaven over one sinner that repenteth. And there'll be rejoicing in your heart because you know that you are no longer an enemy of God. You no longer stand to be condemned. You are saved. You are right with God, and there is everlasting peace. You are born again. Born never to die. This is a tremendous cause for rejoicing. Well, may the Lord bless these things to us. Let us close by looking at our final hymn. I will read this out for us. Hymn number 391. Hymn number 391. And this will help us as we conclude this morning. Not what these hands have done can save this guilty soul. Not what this toiling flesh has borne can make my spirit whole. Not what I feel or do can give me peace with God. Not all my prayers and sighs and tears can bear my awful load. Thy work alone, O Christ, can ease this weight of sin. Thy blood alone, O Lamb of God, can give me peace within. Thy love to me, O God, not mine, O Lord, to Thee, can rid me of sin's dark unrest and set my spirit free. Thy grace alone, O God, to me can pardon speak. Thy power alone, O Son of God, can sin's sore bondage break. I bless the Christ of God, I rest on love divine, and with unfaltering lip and heart, I call this Saviour mine. Let's pray together. Dear Lord, our gracious God and our loving Heavenly Father, O Lord, we confess, we freely confess that Thy work alone can save a soul. O dear Lord, be pleased even this day to work in the hearts of those who do not yet know Thee, to do that work that no man can do, no preacher, no Christian. O Lord, it is only by Thy work, by that gracious secret work in the heart. Lord, come, and may that work be done even this day, that there may be great rejoicing in the hearts of all Thy people, rejoicing in heaven and rejoicing in the heart of one who has come to know Christ as their own Saviour. O dear Lord, hear our words, hear our prayers, and visit us with Thy salvation. Even this day, we ask it all in our Saviour's name and for His sake. Amen.